Welcome back to episode 452 of the White Book. This week, we are on to props and slops. I'm Will, and joining me, as always, are Roy and Aaron.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
I'm Roy.
I should have said that as Aaron and Roy. Man, I try really hard to remember to mark everybody down for my personal giggles in the order that you join the show. And I just let myself down.
Technically, Glazer left the show and then came back. So
I never left. I missed like three episodes.
Whatever. You were like, I'm retired from the White Book. Goodbye, everyone. And then you were bored. I didn't have anything else to do. The meta became more friendly to what Glazer wanted to play.
Will did it in the order that Roy and I are RNA, like the vaccine, which I got.
Oh, you got it?
We did.
Yes, I got it Sunday.
Congrats. Awesome. Our window opens next week. So,
I'm very excited for 4 weeks from now when I will be extremely drunk at a bar. Because I get my second shot in 3 weeks.
Still got to wear a mask to get around, though.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't give a shit. I'll happily wear a mask and then wander into a bar, sit at a bar, and just be like, shot, shot, shot. Fall down, go home, make my wife mad, and go to sleep.
Those were the days.
I mean, yeah. Like, it's just, I might figure out, like, everyone who has the vaccine and be like, can you open the karaoke bar for us? We all have the vaccine.
You're helping the economy. You'll be a job creator, Glazer.
Yep. All right. But since we're still sitting at home, by the way, we are recording this on huge props, the last day of the Trump presidency.
We will, we'll, I don't know. I'm holding out my applause till after the inauguration. After a couple weeks ago, who knows what the next Wednesday might bring?
Oh, I don't know. Like, tomorrow could either, my hope is that tomorrow, which you'll definitely, or the past, when you're listening to this, but I hope that we've lived two very boring days with poorly attended inaugural services because people are wise and don't want to be out in giant crowds. And nothing interesting happened besides arguing about whether or not Biden went far enough to fix Trump's problems so far. Well, like, that's all I care about. That's what I hope, but you never know. You never know.
Because people be crazy. Speaking of crazy things.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Wonder Woman 84 is one of the craziest movies I've ever seen and deserves huge, huge slaps.
That movie
was bad.
It wasn't great. I mean, we just finally got around to watching it literally last night. So it is fresh on my mind. And it was like, it was just fine. It was aggressively, like, it had a large reputation to live up to, and it didn't. But, like, I've definitely seen worse superhero movies than Wonder Woman 84.
Yes, because Snyder made superhero movies. But, like, short of Snyder.
I mean, and Ghost Rider.
And a whole bunch of, early 2000s superhero movies. Like,
I didn't see Ghost Rider because Nick Cage was in it. And I stopped watching Nick Cage movies at right about Face Off and haven't really missed it.
Face Off is great, by the way. I rewatched it with my wife. And
Q currently believes that Trump face-offed with Biden and he's remaining.
I know.
Just so you're aware.
That's a great
does that mean they'll become Biden supporters now?
Yeah. I guess.
I hope so. These people have, there's no limit to the crazy, right? Like, if there's one thing, so like Wonder Woman 84, there's no limit to the crazy.
That's true. There was no limit to the crazy in that movie. But it's good that Will brought up like earlier superhero movies. Like, it really did feel like a pre- once Marvel kind of figured out the formula circa Civil War, like it felt very like early 2000 superhero movie where there's two villains because they clearly felt that neither villain could carry a movie, but they're not really connected. There's no connective tissue. There's no thorough through line. It just, there's a bunch of unconnected action sequences that are seemingly cool set pieces, but don't like do anything for the plot, and it just kind of just like flops flat,
and it's overall hampered by some weirdly early 2000 CG too.
Yeah, I mean the DC. I mean the CG in all the DC animated or not animated, but they could practically be animated movies. The DC cinematic movies are bad. Like, you know, Snyder always cheated by making his big fights at night, which sure. of course makes it easier. And the more you know, and that's the same thing. You know, they tried to do that with the battle against Cheetah, and it didn't really work. Like that battle just like it looked like
so bad.
It was so bad. Like she like lands, and there's that cool moment with the armor that's like barely explained. And yeah. that's cool. And then it sucks. And then like her yelling hope, like I get where they were going about it, but like Maxwell Lord's motivations and what he's achieving are really unclear. And it's just a floppy fish of a movie. Like it's like, it wasn't horrible. Like I have definitely seen worse superhero movies. Like X-Men Apocalypse is way horrible. Worse than this.
I think it's about as bad as X-Men Apocalypse. I think they are similarly poorly acted. They make similarly little amounts of sense.
Gal Gadot at least had its heart in the right place, even if it executed poorly. I don't think that Apocalypse had its heart in the right place.
Wait, but executed what? Because like, if you tell me what that movie was going for, like what it...
It did give us a good meme format.
I mean, general sense, I think that movie, I guess, was about be careful what you wish for.
No, it's wait, about selfishness. Like that's
wait, you know, about. Wait, you know what's worse
there you go.
Than
there you
Apocalypse go. Or Wonder Woman?
Dark Phoenix.
Okay, it's not as bad as Dark Phoenix. It's not as bad as Dark
Phoenix. I haven't seen Dark Phoenix. It's on Disney Plus now, right?
Like I don't know. You should
what about X3?
No,
I think that was worse than Wonder Woman as well.
X3 was more silly, right? Like X3 was just. Like X3, there's a level of bad you can be where I'm laughing with it, where yeah, like yeah. I'm sure you know it's bad. And I think Wonder Woman wanted to be good, which is why I'm so hard on it. Wonder Woman thought it was going to be
the moments it did lean into the cheese on purpose, though, I did really like the 80s fashion spiel. Like that was fun.
Yeah, there were fun moments, and like the action sequence in the White House was pretty well done. Like I enjoyed that sequence. It didn't make any sense, but right, I it was well staged and well executed, but it like, and it was like, there was some, they were like almost there. Like if they had written the draft and been like, oh, this scene works really well. Let's build out from like, what could bring us to this scene? Then would have been a better movie versus like, I don't even know. Like again, Max Lord's, plan doesn't make any sense. Like it's just, it's under thought out movie.
I will at least say I think that's part of Max's character, right? Is that he's not slowing down to think any of this through. He just wants more and more and more without ever stopping to consider the implications.
Yeah,
and that's, he doesn't really have a good plan at the beginning.
He sort of did, yeah.
Like, there's never a point where he makes too much sense.
Well,
I mean, his plan at the beginning was like to become an oil salesman.
Yes, and yeah, then
he wanted to actually be rich and
powerful. Right, but like he could have just wished that from the stupid thing and moved on with life, right?
Yeah,
like he had the stupid thing, which like, and the like his whole like, this is gonna cost him everything, and then his son, like it was just, it was a thing.
There were definitely some leaps.
I really, really hated it. Also, Wonder Woman rape is bad. Someone should sit her down and have that talk.
Oh, about transforming the. What's his fit? The random guy into what's his fit?
Yeah, who she then she slept with him, right? Like he was not in control of his own body. That's rape.
It wasn't him anymore. Like you get into some real existential issues then. That
film I don't
not prepared to delve into.
Sure, the film didn't want to deal with it, but still, if you're gonna have like you're gonna imply that your main character raped somebody, like. That seems relevant.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with you, Glazer, here, and that somebody shouldn't have sat down Diana and explained to her. Someone should have sat down to Patty Jenkins, and particularly the screenwriter, Jeff Johns, that this is a bad idea.
Like, Jeff Johns wrote this?
Jeff Johns.
Yeah.
Can we just slop him? Like,
I mean, he slaps his entire existence sans flesh. And maybe
I mean, I'm willing to chuck his Flash run in the dustbin of history, because like I think one of the themes of this show that I've talked about in history is I don't like the Geoff Johns era of DC, and now I get extra justification because he's shown to be a racist POS.
Yeah.
Who helped drive the cyborg actor Ray Fisher, right? I was afraid I was going to get his name wrong, out of the DC universe, alongside other not friend of the show anymore, Joss Whedon. But it looks like Johns is taking a majority of the brunt at this point. But I think it's because Whedon kind of canceled himself.
Whedon doesn't seem to be racist so much as just extremely toxic in general.
Yes.
Johns, it seems to be about race, which is worse. I don't know. Different worse, but worse.
Yeah.
Different
yeah.
bad.
Different.
Yeah, different.
That's.
But like, yeah. I don't know.
Not a good time for the DCU.
Let's do one good piece of DCU news that might or might not be true. So one good piece of DCU news is actually great, great DCU news. Not only is Batman the Animated Series on HBO Max now, but according to Kevin Smith, who might or might not know, they are relaunching Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, I'm skeptical. Like, I don't think it's a well that like you really can go back to. Like,
sure, you can. You just make more episodes.
Yeah, but like, are there more?
Yes.
I mean, look. I disagree, I guess would be the thing to say. Like, if you look at the end of the Batman the Animated Series tenure, when it was Batman and Robin, or the New Adventures of Batman and Robin, or whatever, when they redid the art style.
The New Adventures.
Those episodes are not that great.
Like, sure,
yeah, but like, Magic had moved on by then.
And then Justice League was primarily showrun on a writer's level by Dwayne McDuffie, who sadly is no longer with us. Like, I just don't think there's very many more interesting stories in the DIN universe or what have you.
What they do, or if they're smart, is they just go back to mining comic stories. Right? Like the Joker's Five-Way Revenge and the like various stories in that show.
Yeah,
are just good comic stories. Like Batman is one character you don't have to worry about running out of the good story.
I agree with you in the sense that like you can. I'm interested in seeing a bunch of different creators' takes on Batman, but I definitely think a creative team and a creative perspective can run out of interesting stories to tell with their perspective of Batman. Like for example, Grant Morrison,
I think 25 years is probably enough time to like take a break from something, come back to it and be okay. But like, assuming that it's not just them and there's new voices involved.
If I know one thing about AT&T, WB, DC, and probably a few other letters I'm leaving out, is that they are going to go straight into rehashing the Court of Owls storyline, right? Like that's where they're going to go.
Yeah. I mean, they could do Batman Inc. I guess that sort of
Batman Inc.
I wish they.
I would be all over that, but that's like that's a different show. I think.
Like that's also like they haven't really like the Morrison stuff doesn't get touched that much besides some of the like characters he came up with, like
New X-Men, right?
Pig and
just like New X-Men, he has all these great ideas that really push the character forward, and he leaves, and people are like, let's go back to what we did.
Before. Oh, Damian, of course, Damian's his big like. Contribute like bringing him out of the depths of Elseworlds into the continuity, calling
Damian a contribution, I think is a strong word for Damian, but
a
sure
a lot of people love him, so
like, I know I can't grok why
is the writer good is generally how these things work. Like
I just don't think he has good chemistry with Bruce regardless of the writer. I will admit Damian and Dick was good. Yeah.
I mean, I think it depends on what kind of Batman stories you want to tell. Like, I think there are good Damian Bruce stories, but I do think it's a well that you can only go to for so long. Like, Damian's a character that has kind of, like, doesn't exist well in the kind of, like, extended, like timeline of Batman. Like, it's like, okay, he's kind of a dick and evil, and he becomes less evil over time, and then he kind of, like, by the end of it, he just becomes like a faceless Robin with a backstory that's tied to be Batman's son, right? He's like not that different than any other Robins.
Yeah.
Like
he can only have his defining characteristics before for so long before it just becomes like a real problem. And then if when he doesn't have defining characteristics, then that's a problem.
Then he just becomes, you know, and
he becomes Jason.
But
less interesting than Jason, which
that's
is saying
that's not possible. That's not possible.
Jason Todd is a character. Talk about a character that's been run into the ground repeatedly.
I don't know if that's ground we need to go into. We are leaving the DCEU further and further behind.
Either way, I mostly trust DC animation to get this right. Want to move over to Marvel?
Their esteemed competitor.
When it comes to film and television, like they're not even competitors at this point.
When it comes to comics, they're not competitors. Like Marvel dominates in basically every way, right?
Yeah, I'd say.
Over the last couple of years, now DC's been doing DC.
Batman always does well.
The distribution issues have been a problem, but that's a whole other thing to just whole different thing to get into.
Which we have talked about in a previous episode.
That's true.
I feel like, I don't know about Will. I've seen some social media posts of Will that he might agree with me here, but I really, really liked WandaVision.
Yes.
I am definitely a mark for the show. Like, I am a person who, when I was so cool in high school, I watched a lot of TV Land. And so I watched a lot of 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s sitcoms and a lot of 90s sitcoms. Basically everything. I'm familiar with basically every American sitcom before, like from Modern Family back. And I haven't kept up with like.
I'll one up you there, Roy. I was watching that stuff before it was even on TV Land when it was still Nick the stuff that was on Nick at Night. Yeah,
no, definitely. I watched plenty of Nick at Night as a kid, a little kid. But like, even when I was in high school, other kids were doing cooler or more interestingly dorky things. I was at home watching TV Land and MASH reruns. But so I'm a mark.
And I just like lived the same life. This is very weird.
I'm a mark for it. I really liked the first episode. They did a good job of capturing that kind of humor. I'm willing to go along with this ride because I know it's also, I'm going to get this like tribute / slightly horrific take on suburban sitcoms and then also be paid off with a cool Marvel movie at the end of it. So like on board, like I'm all about talking about the theories about this series too.
The like slightly horrifying note or however you'd phrased it is I think a really good good point. Like it is I mean we're a spoilerful cast here, right? It is legitimately disconcerting, I think, when the boss starts choking at dinner and everyone freezes and Wanda just keeps saying I forget her exact line now, something about
Wanda doesn't say it's the mom from That's a Show.
Oh, well, no, she keeps repeating the same thing. But Wanda also has to repeatedly say, like, Vision, save him.
She just says it once. I just rewatched it.
Really? Okay.
She just goes, Vision, help him, and he goes and does it. Like, they're all waiting for what Wanda's going to do. Like, okay. that's the thing, and that's what's additionally. And, like, Wanda, that like, there's something going on with Elizabeth, like, the way she's acting, like, you can tell. It's very good, because it's like, the character, you can't tell if she's trying to consider whether she could save him if she should save him or she's confused by what's going on. It's very like, you can read a lot into the Elizabeth Olsen's facial expressions in that scene as well. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, if nothing else, I would watch, like if the whole show was nothing but like superhero Bewitched, like 8 episodes of just that, I would be all in for it. I loved it.
I thought it was fine. Like, so I watched all of the same shows you guys did. I thought that it was charming, but like a lot of those old sitcoms relied on super duper star performances. And Elizabeth Olsen is a very fine actress. She's not Lucille Ball. And like, I know that that's like a really high standard to hold anyone to, but like, I thought it was good, but like, I'm used to Lucille Ball. I'm used to like, these top-notch like actresses and actors who've done this for like hundreds and hundreds of episodes at this point, or like basically invented the form when we're doing this. And like, I don't think they reached that height, so it was fine. I knew everything that was going to happen besides the like twist into the world. And like the second Vision, the gum got stuck in Vision. It was like, oh, guess what? He's drunk now. And he's going to like mess up the show. Like, it's all like, that's all fine. Like, and I enjoyed it for what it was, but like, I'd rather watch I Love Lucy reruns besides the underplot. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, I just feel like those other shows are better. I would like, I get that. More power to you guys for enjoying it so much, but like, I'm willing to give it those two episodes, maybe one more of this exact thing, and then they need to start to like move the plot forward for real. Well, because, I need movement, because like, I can be watching the actual things that this is pastiching rather than it and be enjoying it more.
That's fair. That's completely fair. I mean, the reviews have said that the end of the third episode, something happens that's, yeah, you know, recontextualizes the first two episodes. So we will on Friday.
I figure things will start also accelerating for sure.
I would also have been fine if one of my favorite Marvel characters in ages showed up on the show,
which is
Viv Vision.
Oh, Viv, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Viv.
So,
well, I mean, there could still be something, right? If they flash forward.
Well, I don't think it's spilling any tea or anything, that one of the big rumors is that Wanda and Vision are going to have twins.
Yeah. Right? If the twins are just Wiccan and...
Well, one of them is going to be Wiccan. But the question is, who is the second one going to be? Because does anyone really care about Tommy? Like, that one of the sort of like rumors that's floating around is that, you know, do you replace Wiccan
I'd be fine with that. It's just, I really, really like, I love Wiccan.
Wiccan's great. Yes.
But I really like, I think I like Viv even better, which is like,
yeah, like, I haven't read very much Viv stuff. So compared to like Wiccan stuff, and Wiccan is such an important character for like the development of diversity and the DCU. So not DCU, Marvel comics. Sorry.
I would be very, very, very happy with that as like part of the payoff, and that would definitely buy it some time. Like, turn into basically Full House, right?
Yeah.
Like, fine. Like, just keep moving through the decades as this kind of sitcom. Enjoy.
Sure.
Like, I would enjoy that. But like, the families, the type of sitcom they're parodying, or pastiching is, it's not parody, sort of stops existing by the end of the 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Like, they're not going to do Seinfeld, right?
No, but they'll probably do Full... I mean, they're going to do Full House as the 90s sitcom, right? Because, like, you can't have the sister of the Olsen twins, right? And not...
She might just not want to.
Well, I mean, maybe.
Like,
I mean, I can't imagine they won't. So the question I have for you two, there's sort of two questions. One is, I see sort of two general threads of like what's going on here. So do you think this is a situation that Wanda, say she was, you know, doing something and gets trapped in it, and Vision shows up and she's kind of like happy that Vision's there, but she's not really, at the end of the day, causing what's going on, even if she's like complicit in it now because she likes the Vision's alive and wants to be his wife and have this nice happy family, whatever? Or is it she's making this happen and from the go, and there could be villains that get involved later and want to take advantage of it or whatever, but she's the one making this fundamentally? Or do you think this is something that she got trapped in and now she's taking advantage of? I think those are kind of the two big threads of where this is going. So where do you guys land on that sort of theory?
You may have to name which one of us is going first.
Glazer started talking first. So
One of the background things that keeps happening is what are they doing to you, or what did they do to you? Something along those lines.
Yeah.
So like, there's clearly an outside force that is causing her powers to act this way. My guess, this being Marvel, is this is going to lead into Loki.
Well, they've explicitly said it's going to lead into Spider-Man.
Spider-Man? I thought it was going to lead into
Spider-Man and
the multiverse.
And Doctor Strange.
Yeah, multiverse of madness.
So, okay. I wouldn't shock me if this also led into the Loki TV show, and that is how we got there into the multiverse, and that's what Wiccan ends up being for. Like, my assumption currently has been that This is someone's plan to create Wiccan to get to access the multiverse, which would make sense as Loki.
Yeah, with the
like,
children.
Like Loki is as yeah, Loki is a like
for the children
trying not to die kind of thing.
Definitely.
You know. Go ahead,
Will. That's what I was gonna say. Go ahead, Will.
Okay. Well, I was just gonna say that last bit there may have brought me around. I was going to come at it from the angle of Wanda is doing this. There's a long tradition at this point in the comics of her powers, let's say, either being useless or wildly out of control and like Phoenix Force level warping the world. So I figured they were going to be leaning into that. And there were hints in the trailer that, you know, these other people that are there are actual people that have been kind of sucked into it. So that was the direction I was going until that bit, just now, about potentially trying to create Wiccan on purpose, because they kept repeating that for the kids bit in this second episode. So, you know, maybe there is something going on there.
I have a feeling that probably the most prominent female Avenger from like that's alive from the old from like the pre Endgame world, they won't want to make her like a straightforward villain. So I do think it's going to end up being that like Wanda was working with, I mean, it's not a spoiler cause it's been in Disney's official like discussion of it, is working with S.W.O.R.D. Disney has released that and gets caught up in this. And well, now
in the S.W.O.R.D. logo 4 times.
Yeah. Yeah. But not everybody knows what the S.W.O.R.D. logo is. She's working with S.W.O.R.D. She could even be a S.W.O.R.D. agent and gets caught up in this. But once she's caught up in it, she's like, oh sweet. Like I got Vision back, and she doesn't want to leave that because it would mean her losing Vision. And then if she has children, losing children, but it's going to be some other force. You know, there's lots of rumors about which Wanda tied villain and Dr. Strange tied villain it could be. But the other quick question, cause I know we do want to move on, so we don't have this go, but I could do a whole episode just on WandaVision. Quicksilver. Do you think he's going to come back? Do you not think he's going to come back?
No.
My assumption is no as well.
My assumption is yes.
They're just done.
I think you can't do like a Wanda family sitcom thing without Quicksilver.
Wait, you mean come back to life like regularly or no, show up?
I mean, be in the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he'll show up. Sorry. I thought you meant like, do you think that like what part of the end game of this is to reintroduce Quicksilver?
No.
That's what I thought.
I mean, maybe, Dave. That I don't know. Like, I'm agnostic. Like, I could go 50-50 about like whether or not Vision will be back at the end of this. But no, I think whether he'll make like a concerted appearance. Do you think so?
Yes, I would assume so. Like, people tend to just say yes to doing Marvel shows, even as cameo, right? Like, it's such money. And also it's such a big hit, like, right? Like,
yeah.
So that
heck, they got Matt Damon to play the hammy Asgardian actor for like
and the Prime Minister of Australia announced that he's going to be in Thor 4. So,
but also. Like, it's not hard to get Matt Damon to do that kind of thing.
I mean, it's
fair. Eurotrip exists.
Well, you also get, like, a lot of these people.
All the Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah, well, he wasn't in that many Kevin Smith movies. He was only in...
He's in, like, 3 or 4.
Isn't he only in Jigsaw Bob Strikes Back and then the remake of Jigsaw Bob Strikes Back?
He's a co-star of Dogma, right?
Oh, right, Dogma. Yeah. I always forget about Dogma.
He's in,
so there's three. There's three. He's
in. I'll look it up.
But anyway, I think for a lot of these actors, if you pay them the Disney day rate and they do a comedic role, like a lot of them are clearly like up for coming back. Like I wouldn't be surprised if, like, for example, it's been rumored that Chris Evans is coming back as Cap. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back as like Loki pretends to be Cap in the fourth Thor movie or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it'll just be very brief.
Very brief or like a 15-minute thing. And it's like comedic. So it doesn't really like require a lot of work on their part. And it's, you know, they're minor. It's a minor note, right? Like when Chris Evans came back for, you know, to be in Homecoming. That's probably one of my best favorite appearances of Captain America when he's in the instructional tapes. But anyway. So what's next on the list?
We skipped Mando. He's also in Chasing Amy.
Is he in Chasing Amy?
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was.
Matt Damon's in Chasing Amy. Four.
Yeah, I think it's just very brief.
Oh my god, he's in the background. But
that's what we're saying. That's what I'm saying. It's not hard to get him to do a cameo. Not to star. He's
Sure. Okay. Like, that's not even a cameo, right? Like, does that character have any lines, or is he just in, like, the back?
No, I think it's notable. Like, isn't he in the, like, comic shop or whatever in the mall at the end? Like, when they go in there? I'm pretty sure it's noticeable.
He does a voice in Ponyo uncredited.
Aww.
So, like, this is not hard to get him to be like, hey, this is a cool thing. Want to do a cool thing? Like, right? Like, he's clearly down for that kind of thing.
Okay. Oh man!
Well, beyond Matt Damon, the name of our new podcast, do we get back up to Mando then with the end? I think at the last time we recorded, I think there were two episodes left that we don't really need to break that down. But the big reveal, right? The whole Luke business.
Yeah, it was great.
Spoilers.
I mean, saying spoilers after you spoil something.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's, at this point, it's been a couple of months. Like,
yeah. I thought it was good. I think there were some real wild power level swings, even just within that one episode. Like, as far as, like, how stormtroopers stack up against, like, main characters versus how death troopers stack up versus Luke, like... You establish that stormtroopers are absolutely nothing for like a literal joke this entire season. And you have the main characters blow through them. Then you have them nearly killed by the death troopers. Then you have Luke just blow through them like they're cardboard. It just, I don't know. It just made it. I know they were probably trying to make it seem like, yes, Luke, this is Luke at the height of his power, but it also just like, kind of destroys all the stakes for me.
I think that Luke, I get what you're saying. Like, I do think that this episode does suffer from like a everybody kind of is only as powerful as the plot dictates in that specific moment, particularly the villains. I mean, that's a classic Star Wars problem though. But I think Luke kicking the Dark Troopers' asses, that was definitely something I'm willing to take. Like, I don't think that like the way the Dark Troopers were perspective, they were like specifically designed to like kill Jedi, you know, like the none of their techniques of fighting. And then they seemed to, you know, like, I think it was the Dark Troopers were particularly set up to be like fodder for Luke when he came back, or showed up. And so that didn't bother me, but I definitely get what you're saying when it comes to like what Mando himself was effective against versus what he wasn't and all that kind of stuff.
I thought it was great. I'm not worried about this kind of thing for Star Wars in general. Star Wars is very, very popcorn for me. Mm-hmm. Where as long as it makes sense, the acting is good and nothing makes me actively angry, I'm happy. Which, you know, is a really low bar that Star Wars consistently smashes its face into. But hey, such is Star Wars. But I don't know. I thought it was just really good. It was really straightforward. I liked it. I was happy with basically everything that happened. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I have no real complaints about Mandalorian. I hope they come back with another season of actual Mandalorian and don't replace it with whatever nonsense they decide to.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing as far as it being replaced. I mean, I'm sure we'll get another Mandalorian season, but yeah, I do have some concerns about like what happens with the story and the focus at this point.
What I understand, this year we're getting Mando and Boba, so it's like the year of the Fets, and then maybe Mando might take some time off. Or we might get Mando and one other show. You know what I mean? It might be one of those things where it's like every year we get a season of Mando and plus one other show. that's in the Mandalorian universe, because they haven't really started production, like filming for the Ahsoka. I always say her name wrong. Ahsoka?
Ahsoka.
Ahsoka show, or the Rangers of the New Republic show. So like the ones like Boba Fett, they're working, that they're filming or may have already even been filmed. And then they've said that Mando is coming out this year. And they've shown with that LED technology and the fact that they keep the cast of every episode small, that they can turn over Mando very quickly. Because didn't we get two seasons of Mando last year? Or within a year of each other?
They were within a year, yeah. They both started in like October, right? Or the first one was October, second one was November the following
year? Yeah, a year. So they can do a Mando a year, which is pretty quick for Star Wars. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get two Mando-related shows a year, which, you know, may be a lot for people. Like, I'm not super invested in the, like, Clone Wars, Rebels-adjacent continuity. And so, like, I enjoy Star Wars enough that when it's there, I will watch it. But, like, I can't be overwhelmed because, like, I don't care enough to be overwhelmed. Like, if I get sick of it, I'll just stop watching. I won't be sad because, like, I'm not invested. So I just take sort of each season as its own individual thing. It's not something I'm like craving, like WandaVision. I'm craving, like I want it to be Friday for the new season, or Falcon the Winter Soldier, or God help us, Hawkeye. Like if suddenly those went on some decline, I would be ugh. But Star Wars at this point in my Star Wars fandom, it's like whatever. When they produce something, if I'm in the mood, I'll watch it. If it's not, then I won't watch it.
I think I'm going to watch most Star Wars things from here on out. Filoni has exactly zero misses thus far. Like, I started Rebels. We'll talk more about it when I get further in. But, like, someone should have just sold it to me as, like, Aladdin but Star Wars, and I would have been there. Like, because, like, Aladdin but Star Wars is, like, I love Aladdin. That's
an amazing... Clone Wars?
No, Rebels.
Rebels. Yeah.
Like, that's an amazing pitch. Like, I loved Clone Wars.
Interesting.
I love the first two seasons of Mando. I'm all in on, like, as long as he's in charge, like, or he and Favreau are in charge, I'm in. Thanks. Let's keep it going. I'm going to watch whatever shit they put out. When they miss, I will worry. But until then.
Yeah. All right. Well, shall we mosey on to one of the next ones?
We might as well stay on Disney.
Soul, right? I haven't seen Soul yet, so go ahead, folks.
Well, I saw it over the weekend with my I always want to call them nieces and nephews. They're technically cousins. So with like three, no, well, there was another family there, so like six kids running around. So I didn't really get to follow a lot of details, but what I could tell, I liked it. It was pretty much a quintessential Pixar bittersweet, you know, life lesson film.
I thought it, so the movie it most reminds me of, which I guess it makes sense since it has the same director, is Up. It felt very Up to me. Mm-hmm. That's both a really high compliment and a little eh. I think Up and Soul are the most inconsistent of the really, really great Pixar movies. Functionally, everything in Soul that happened on Earth, I was all in for, regardless of, again, using spoilers, who was in the main character's body. I was all about Earth. I loved Earth. I was so in on Earth. And all of the, like, afterlife stuff, it was exposition-y and boring.
So, like, Wall-E?
So, I liked almost all of Wall-E. I haven't seen Wall-E in a really long time. So, I would like to rewatch it. I gotta convince Noah, because I'm not rewatching it alone. But, like, much like Up, where, like, Up had, like, parts that were so silly that it removed, like, a lot of the emotional impact and removed a lot of me enjoying it, and it wasn't really funny. Soul was just like, here's a bunch of like silly little slapstick that we really hope will appeal to kids, because if not, I don't know. And like, we're going to pretend we sound deep, even though it's just poorly explained. It didn't work. Luckily, that's not a majority of the movie. The majority of the movie, like literally all the Earth stuff, is some of the best Pixar stuff. Beyond that, like the ending is really bad, but everything else, like I think it's like a solid 7 out of 10 for Pixar, which is given, you know, what it's being compared to, really good.
Again, I haven't seen it, so
yeah, you should.
Yeah, well, I'll get around to it.
I mean, you've seen all the others, right?
Inconsistently. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what Pixar... Like, the last one I really remember watching was Up.
Ooh, wow. You should...
Or I guess it's not... Story, which came first, Up or Toy Story 3? Whichever one of those came.
Up, I believe. But you should really, really, really watch both Coco and Inside Out. They're the only ones since that era that have been great.
Coco's really good.
Yeah.
Inside Out might be my favorite of all of them. But like Coco and Inside Out, I think, are my two favorite Pixar movies, even though I'm not sure they're the two best. Toy Story 3 is probably the best.
Yeah, there's just a thing, like, I guess that, like, era, the, like, Wall-E, Up era, kind of, like, I don't know, like, I just was so mid about them that kind of, like, and Cars. Oh, my God, the Cars movies.
Cars,
so
like, I worked at a movie theater during the Cars movies.
Well, there's like three of them, aren't there?
Well, like the first, either one or two, I hate Cars.
Well, plus then Planes is kind of a spinoff. And,
yeah, like, be glad that your son doesn't like Cars.
I mean, I just avoid showing it to him.
Well, one day he might see it, though, and then you never know if there's no turning back.
Yeah.
I should just get around to watching them, but I always find something else to do.
You would really, really, really love Inside Out. I think you would like Coco. I don't know anyone who doesn't like Coco. I've never heard of a person not liking Coco. But, that's like, true. I think you, in particular, would really, really enjoy Inside Out.
All right. Well, if I ever get off my crime fiction kick that I'm currently on, I will check them out.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So Coco, I assume you guys want to talk about the third season?
Yeah. So if you haven't watched Cobra Kai, it's like the fastest binge in the world, and you should just suck it up and do it. Because Cobra Kai remains absolutely great. This season was so damn fast, though. Like, if I think it was the same amount of episodes as the last two, but whereas the last two were full plot arcs, this one was set up for the fourth season. Like, entirely set up for the fourth season. It was putting things back into place after they broke everything in the second season.
Classic storytelling problems.
It was still good, but, like, we went to watch, and Carla goes, why are we on the last episode? Is someone else watching this on their Netflix? It was 18 people have our Netflix.
Well, they're only half hour, right?
Yeah, and there's, like, 8. So, like,
10. There's 10. I went on the Wikipedia page. I checked. It's 10.
So she was like, Carl's like, is someone else watching this? Like, why are we on the last episode? And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe someone did that. And then we watched it and I was like, no, that was the last episode. Because, like, everything else felt like it was heading to a climax. This felt like it was building to getting to, like, everything in order. It was still really good. Like, it's the type of show Riverdale is, the first season, except it's three seasons.
The first season of Riverdale is way more batshit crazy than this is. Like, what's his name? We just watched American Horror Story. What is that guy's name?
It's the same type of show.
It is definitely not. It's much closer to, like, CW, your standard CW show, than it is, like, the batshit crazy that is Riverdale.
I think I agree with later seasons of Riverdale. I don't super agree with the first season of Riverdale. The first season of Riverdale spends a lot more time than you remember doing a lot of regular teen drama-y things. It was a teen drama. Like, it was like 90210 with a murder mystery in the background.
It was more like it's more like Twin Peaks with done with the CW sensibility. Because they went for that whole, like, mysterious shit. The fact that the brother died is, it's the same, and there's a body in the first episode.
It's a murder mystery. There's that one murder mystery plot hanging over a WB show. And like later seasons are the craziest thing in the world, right? Like they completely divorce themselves from reality immediately after that.
Yeah.
Like,
quickly in the second season, yes.
But season one is like, there's the who's Archie gonna date, and then like who's Jughead dating, and Jughead's brooding, and like it's all like CW teen drama stuff.
The serial killer thing in the first or second season?
Second season.
That's the second season. Okay.
Yeah, second. That's when it immediately starts divorcing itself from reality. We're just like, this is the thing we're doing.
Your dad. I really shouldn't just be spoiling shows when I'm talking about, but
that's fine. But like, yeah, I think Cobra Kai is very season one, which is the only season I liked of Riverdale, all the way through.
Yeah, like, I watched the first two episodes of the first season of Cobra Kai, and like,
I mean, you watched two episodes,
like, okay, and then like, it was time to go to sleep, and then I never turned it back on the next time I was watching television. Yeah. Like, I just,
you have to remember is there's a difference between things made for TV and things made for YouTube, right?
Yes.
So Cobra Kai was made with binging in mind. So it doesn't, like, the season will try and do what an episode or two episodes of a TV show do. An episode or two episodes of a TV show have to hook you because they want you to come back next week. Cobra Kai doesn't want you to come back next week. Cobra Kai wants you to finish it in 4 hours. Sit down for 4 hours or 5 hours and just be like, oh, shit, what happened to those 5 hours? Like, it is a different, it's a different text type. Like, it's not a different genre, but it's a different, like, medium, and because of that medium change, it works differently.
You don't have to sell me on binging stuff. Like, I watched all of Lupin today, and like when Witcher came out, like, I watched all of it. Alan and I watched all of it one day, and that was specifically we said to ourselves we weren't going to do that. Like, I have no problem with binging stuff. It's just, and like, I generally like shows kind of that have this kind of ambition, which is not that ambitious, and it's kind of goofy, and the production values are kind of blah. And like, I like theoretically, like, I should like Cobra Kai. And I watched the first two episodes, which I feel tell, like, you know, because it's got the Cobra Kai dude and it's got the Karate Kid and it's like setting them up. And like, I'm just not that interested in their midlife crises. Like,
yeah. Oh, God. Every time Daniel is on screen, it's the most boring thing in the world. I hate that character.
But like, I'm not even like that interested in the villain. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's like, I don't feel that bad. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just something about, I don't know. The characters don't speak to me. Like, I don't know. Like, I maybe one day, like, I'll be bored and I'll run out of stuff and I'll do it, but I just...
Well, watch Coco first.
Sure. Next time I'm like, oh, maybe I'll try Cobra Kai. I'll be like, I'll watch Coco instead.
There you go. That seems like a solid, solid strategy.
What's next? Oh, Rhythm of War. You guys finished it, I guess?
Yeah.
I did a while back. I was just waiting on Aaron.
So, I don't know what I thought. It's been like a month, and it was popcorn or pure sugar or whatever. There was no nutritional value, and the book is just gone. My lasting impression was, okay. I really wish they had, like it actually almost says the exact same thing as the end of Cobra Kai, where, like, instead of, like, having the tournament they're building towards, it's like, and next book. The big fight that actually answers any of your problems. And I'm like, all right, well, I really, really, really wish we had just, like, gotten to that here instead of introducing it. Like, finish your plots. I don't mind
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind episodic storytelling in episodes, but, like, you're writing a 1,000-page novel, introduce and wrap shit up. Like, you can introduce a new plot next one, right? Like, it's a series of a TV show. Like, not like a season of a TV show should introduce and wrap up at least one plot. Like, I feel like these are not hard expectations. An episode doesn't have to, right? Like, a single unit can be ongoing, but, like, come on. Like, we got to do better at actually ending things in some kind of satisfying way.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And that's probably why this book felt a little less interesting and memorable to me than the previous Stormlights, is it didn't have that clear goal for this book, right? Like, he's had this overarching plot, but each book has had a fairly straightforward, okay, here's what this one's going to. And this one, I mean, I guess maybe it had that, but the thing that it was all going to was this huge twist in the setup for the big tournament in next book, to borrow that Cobra Kai term. So spoilers for everybody, just so you know, Odium is not Rise anymore. Like, this whole book effectively was devoted to getting to the end point of the Taravangian twist, which, okay, cool, shocking, wow, that, you know, threw me for a loop, but it wasn't the same sort of like goal as the other books. It was like beat, you know, two of a three beat sequence, and we're waiting until that next book.
It's just, I also didn't care. Like, it's cool that he's Odium now, I guess. It's like, why am I supposed to care? Like, which, like, Odium wasn't developed enough as a character previously for his character change to affect me. If Odium had just been like, Taravangian, is that how we're saying it?
Taravangian?
Taravangian. If Taravangian, I don't care. Sure. If Taravangian had, like, if you were just like, Odium is a master planner and he figured all that, figured all this shit out that Taravangian figures out, it would make no difference to me. Like, it doesn't matter, right? Like, he's really evil and smart and can see all the possibilities is basically the whole goddamn plot.
Well, I mean, Rise was. The question is Taravangian still that way? Is Odium still that way now that Taravangian has the mantle? I'm not sure he is.
I just don't know if I care. They didn't do anything with it. Like, do something with it. Like, the question is too broad, right? He's still a villain. They're still having the fight. He's still there. Like, I don't
care. Is he a villain? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, he's bound by the oath that the previous Odium made in order to have the fight, but I'm not sure that he's the villain anymore.
So they're not going to do the book without a villain, right?
Well, yeah, but like, Sanderson's been pretty upfront, and this has just been a springboard into the wider conflict of the Cosmere. So I think that's the twist that's where this twist was aiming at is, okay, you thought Odium was the villain, but let me you thought Swearengen was the villain. Time for me to introduce what, Talbot? Oh, you thought Talbot was the villain? Time for me to introduce crud. You know, if I'm going to make Deadwood references, I should really make sure I can remember the villain.
I've never seen Deadwood, so I got nothing.
Oh, but, God, Deadwood is so good. Watch Deadwood.
Okay. I mean, at some point. It's just, this is my first Sanderson. I don't care about the Cosmere. Like, it's fine if that's part of it, right? But that can't be, that can't be your whole thing, right? Like, you can't just rely on that. Like, there has to be a satisfying plot in this book, and I don't think it got there. I'll read the next one just because, like, I've read fucking, like, 6,000 pages of this series or something stupid, right? Like, I might as well just keep going. But I don't know. I'm not excited about it. I don't care when it comes out. Like, there's no tension anymore except, like, Cosmere stuff is going to happen. Like, good for you. How about the actual plot and characters I've been reading for, like, 6,000 pages? Is it too much to ask that we actually focus on them?
I'm always excited when Kaladin swears a new oath, right?
Sure.
There were still all of the good, like, Sanderson, moments,
this
you know?
This whole series, literally 100% of the series, could have started with Kaladin getting the Slaver's Mark and just been Kaladin chapters, and it would have been one of my favorite ever.
Yeah, there's nothing the main character. I think we all know that.
I think he thinks Dalinar is.
I did think maybe Dalinar was, like, through book one, but definitely about halfway through book two, I was like, no, it's just Kaladin.
I don't think Sanderson agrees.
Yeah, that might be true.
So, like, if this whole series was just, like, Kaladin, and, like, we never got any other chapters, I would adore it. And, like, the only one who gets stories.
It would suck to lose Dalinar. I do like Dalinar, but that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make to be rid of Shallan.
You're never getting rid of Shallan.
I hated her in book one. Book two and three, she got interesting, and now in this book has regressed. Like, how many times can Sanderson pull the whole, oh, you thought you knew the truth about her family's death or her dad's death or whatever, but look, she was lying to herself. Oh, you thought she told herself the truth, but look, she was lying to herself about what she was lying to herself about.
Yeah. He seems to be very bad with her. I like the Adeline stuff reasonably well.
Yeah, Adeline's fun. Adeline's good.
I mean, I saw where it was going, like, real early, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was telegraphed, like, last book. So, it was still very cathartic
to see. Foreshadowed, but it was good. Yeah, it was good. You know what I was actually really interested in, which might be how they get out of this whole no villain thing? The first Harold stuff was actually fantastic.
Oh, yes.
The creepy, like, experiments that shouldn't be possible. Like, that, like, where he's doing things that break all the rules that he's so painstakingly set up.
Right.
Like, I was very into that. That was, like, a quarter of a chapter, but it was still excellent.
Yeah. I mean, and there's bound to be something there with that, with a payoff. Like, say what I will about the pacing of this book, I think, feeling off. I do at least have read enough Sanderson to know that he's not setting up any of those dominoes without a very, like, convoluted endpoint in mind. I rarely see him just throw them out randomly and then forget where they are.
Yeah.
So, okay. We probably just bored Roy and probably some listeners to death. What's next?
People love Brandon Sanderson, so I doubt you didn't bored listeners.
Draugen. Yeah, so that is one of the video games I played back in the fall when I was super excited and got to finish like four or five video games. It was great. It's been long enough now since I've played it that I'm not going to remember any of the characters' names, of which there are effectively only two. But basically you play a guy, I believe maybe his name is Edward, who is going to a small, I believe it's Norwegian village. It is definitely a Nordic country, in search of his sister in roughly the 1920s, possibly 30s. And you arrive at the town there with your ward, whose name I don't remember, a very sprightly, teenage girl, and discover the entire town is empty. And then you have to spend your time investigating the empty town and, you know, journal entries and this, that, and the other to piece together why the whole town is gone and where your sister is. It's really good. I know we're a spoiler open show, but do either of you guys think you might play a Nordic mystery adventure game?
No, probably not.
Maybe, but like, whatever.
Okay. Well, I mean, basically, come to find out, you're finding these artifacts from your sister, right? Like, oh, this is her hat. It was left in this shop. She must have been here. This is her gloves, and this, that, and the other. And then you have a vision, basically, of this towering, glowing angel that kind of gives you a dictate. And then you find out that Edward is not altogether right in the head. And your ward doesn't exist. She is another personality, along with said angel. And so then basically you realize that Edward is literally the only person there. I still won't give exactly what happened to the town and that sort of thing, but I think it's a very interesting kind of experience to kind of see reality kind of come unhinged around Edward, and see some of his coping mechanisms. It's good. It's very, very atmospheric. It's a gorgeous little game. I would say check it out.
Cool. Where the heck? I lost the tab with our stuff. Here, tab.
I think Children of Morta is next.
Oh, Children of Morta is awesome. So this is a very, very Will game. It's a relatively easy roguelite / action RPG, but basically you play a family that basically hereditarily lives at the base of the mountain, and the mountain is where, like, the evil in the world congregates and lives, and it's their job is to be guardians of the mountain. And you basically find out how all the gods of the mountain and why everything is going so wrong. But the evil starts trying to escape and break the world, and there's a bunch of prophecies. And, like, basically you have to take, you get, I think, 6 members of the family throughout the game who all play incredibly differently. You can level them individually, but you can also spend, like, your gold on, like, family boosts. So, like, they can each share each other's skills and boost each other. You can apparently do it as multiplayer, although I did not. It was fast. It was not a long play. I think I beat it in about 1.5 weeks. I really, really, really loved the game. And, like, I strongly suggest people play it. Like, building the characters was really cool and really fun. Figuring out, like, because all the characters ended up really good. Like, at first I was only really good with the archer. And then, like, I slowly figured out how to use everyone else, and I figured out what skills I was using and how to re-put skill points into the right spot. It was very good. The plot was really well done and really emotional. There's this one, like, hyper-intense interlude in the middle that breaks up the structure where, like, a member of the family gets kidnapped and, like, everyone has to go rescue them, like, immediately. And, like, there's this giant monster chasing you that's super intense. The game is a little, like, it's very indie, right?
But yeah, like, looking at screenshots now, and the art style looks like a 1994 DOS game.
Yeah,
which is not a negative to me.
It is excellent. Like, I truly, truly enjoyed it. I beat it. I beat it with, like, each family member for no reason because it doesn't really matter. And there's a new game plus, which I looked at and was like, no, I enjoyed this. I don't want to, like, grind at it until it's not fun, because I finished it really happy with it. But check out Children of Morta. Next up is Slay the Spire. If you like Ascension, if you played Thrones and Miss Thrones, Slay the Spire is very fun. My one complaint about it is very, very RNG heavy, to the point where, like, the better players in the world on the higher difficulty win, like, 30% of their runs. But it's a deck building roguelike. Basically, you travel through 3 and a half floors worth of hallways, fighting monsters, elites, basically mini bosses, and eventually bosses. And, like, each battle, you get a card. It's a nice, simple game where, like, you have 3 energy at the start, and each card costs 1, 2, or 3 energy. And then, like, you can get certain relics that help increase your energy as you go, which is hugely important. And as you beat bosses, you get a choice of 3 cards, or you can skip cards and not make your deck too big and bloated, and yada, yada, yada. It is very fun. I've literally spent like 30-40 hours just grinding at it, and it's easy to get lost in. There's 4 different characters who have totally different cards, which make the game play and handle really, really differently. I really enjoy playing as 2 of the characters. I really don't enjoy playing as 2 of the characters, so I mostly don't. However, it sucks because I'm much better at the 2 straightforward characters I don't enjoy nearly as much than I am at the 2 really hard to use characters that like I struggle with. Like, I can get to the boss and, like, then I die, or, like, whatever, or I need to see specific combos of cards to figure out how to make them work. But whatever. The game is excellent, and if you play it and if you're messing with it and you want to get good, this dude named Jorbs, Jobs with an
Jorbs. I think it's Jorbs is how you say it.
Is that a Homestar reference?
It might be. I mean, he's a card strategy game streamer, so he does Magic sometimes. And he was a big Gwent player.
Oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, he was big into he was, like, Magic famous because he's friends with LSV. There's like he has a stream with LSV where he, like, talks LSV through crushing a run. He just beats the game a lot. But whatever.
If you're an old Hearthstone person, the only thing Oh God, what is the name of that guy? Give me 1 second. What's his name? I know. I'm gonna look it up. Just give me 1 second. I forgot. It's the only thing he streams these days. But he used to be a big Hearthstone player. Where's my follow list? I'll continue talking real quick later, and then I'll
come back. In the Life meantime, Coach.
There we go.
Who?
Life Coach. He was a big Hearthstone player back in the day. And now literally all he does is stream Slay the Spire, every day of the week or most days of the week. And he's very good. So.
Okay. Either way, whatever, if you like card games, and I'm assuming if you listen to this, at least at some point you like card games. And if you don't like card games and you're listening to this, hey, thanks for finding us. How the hell did that happen? you should check out Slay the Spire. It's on sale for $12 pretty regularly, and I've gotten way more than whatever that $12 investment was out of it. After the podcast, but before bed, I'm gonna finish I'm an idiot. And before Roy was free to play Magic, I was like, I'm gonna play some Standard, even though I kinda hate Standard. I like Rogues, so I'm playing Standard. And I was 3/4 done with the Spire run. I was like, I can play both at once, like chess. I cannot play both at once. I lost both of those games. Actually, I think I won the Magic game as Roy got on. But I'm on the final boss of Spire and definitely about to lose after rolling my way straight there. Because I made just suboptimal decision after suboptimal decision. But whatever. Slay the Spire is great. You should get it when it's on sale. I think I got Sam to buy it, and Sam has really enjoyed it. That's my Slay the Spire spiel.
Cool.
Nice. I may need to check that out.
You should. I'll tell you when it's on sale should I come up. My last thing is I started Persona 5 Royal, and it is the most stylish, pretty game I have ever played. Okay. It feels like playing an anime. The game is just straight up gorgeous. I'm at my first day of school, so I'm not far, and I'm only an hour and some change in. But everything about the game is just seriously, seriously, mind-blowingly cool. It's the best interface I've ever seen in a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the best graphic design, UX design, to actually be more precise, of any video game ever. And all the, features so smooth. The screens all move at, it's just such an easy game to play.
It's remarkably, remarkably, everything you're doing feels cool, right? I'm going to sink a lot of hours into this as soon as I can figure out how to pry the TV away from my wife and son. although Carla watched me play for the hour and was really into, it was really into it.
It's a, pretty good anime story. If you, are willing to, it doesn't have, what's the best way to put this? Because I just finished Trails, which is nothing but modern anime tropes. Persona 5 is the best of modern, sci-fi fantasy anime, but it does come with some troublesome Japanese tropes. So
yeah.
You just got to be willing to put up with that. And if you are, you will enjoy it. I have watched the anime. It's a fun game to watch and have on. And, my wife watches me play. She'll jump in and out of watching me play when she's in the mood when I was playing it. It is an enjoyable story experience. If you ever have any familiarity with anime. I will say that some of the gameplay loops of Persona 5 get a little tiresome once you're 75 hours into the game. But
I hear it's just too long. I'm dying to play Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth. But you're a big Dragon Quest guy, right?
So I love a lot of the earlier Dragon Quests. I ended up bouncing off, 20 to 25 hours into 11. In a weird way, it's only got three songs for most of it, and it just the music got really annoying to me. And whenever I think of picking it up again, I think of the music, and it makes me not play it. I don't know how to explain that better, but there's just this main theme that's very brassy, and chill out, game. Chill out a little bit. And very good for high adventure. The game is trying to be high adventure, but like, it doesn't really have or do quiet moments. Mm. Sounds like a podcast to me.
Yeah, that's the end of the list. That was right? Our last
one. We actually we made it through, even with a little bit of
our
wandering earlier. I think we did well. Good job, us listeners. Good job, you for I don't know, coming with us this far.
Will, I'm sure you have something you want to talk about, though.
I do. I'm going to take a moment yet again to pub my Kickstarter that is coming up in February. Exact date is still to be narrowed down. Probably the second week of February, possibly the third. I'm kind of trying to line up some other publicity and maximize that. But you can find out more about it and follow along on the Kickstarter page. You can find that. The easy address is bit.ly/warmerRPG, and please capitalize the RPG. So this is Warmer in the Winter. It is a kind of Hallmark or Lifetime holiday romance movie simulator, shall we say, powered by the Apocalypse Engine to do quirky romance movies. But you could fudge it to also do Gilmore Girls or Good Witch or something if you'd like. So ooh. I think it's an underserved niche.
Nice. I will check that out. But hey, props to Roy. Because there's apparently a Fire Emblem Gilmore Girls.
What?
Mod.
It's a mod. Roy sent it to me. I was not going to go to the trouble of figuring out how to install it. But I found it on YouTube. I found two people playing it, actually. One person was really bad at Fire Emblem in a way that, like, the person was really delightful and fun. But, like, making every bad Fire Emblem decision, I was just like...
Didn't understand how to play Fire Emblem.
Yeah, like, I mean, they were fine, right? Like, it was just... So there's he kept losing to Dean at like level 3, and so like
that's just like, really funny. I'm sorry.
It's fine. There's a shop in the middle of the stage, and like he just kept losing to Dean. And I'm like, just go to the shop and buy new weapons for everyone. The game is trying to make you do it, and like he just clearly didn't get it. And it was very frustrating. Dean killed him like 8 times, and he eventually got lucky. There is no permadeath in the game though, which is nice. But it is absolutely delightful. The last boss is Taylor, as it should be.
Yeah. That definitely puts us in the danger zone.
Oh, good one.
Watch Gilmore Girls.